Waste years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Have you wandered along on life's pathway? Have you lived without a love, a life of tears? Have you searched for the great hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Wasted years means wasted time. That equates to lost time. It also equates to not acknowledging the time of God's visitation to you and me. It equates to neglect. It equates to seeking my own way. But He's calling for us to turn from that. And I know that when you think of that, it speaks of a person out in sin. But I want to ask you to think this morning, even though you might be saved, you can still be guilty of wasted years. In the 6th chapter of Proverbs, I want to read verses 6 through 11. Here we find the writer telling us, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." The writer took note of some things in nature, and he learned from them. And you and I are yet to do the same thing today as we go through this life. There are many things that can speak unto us as we go on in this way, and God has His way of speaking to us through those things. We don't always have to hear something preached from a pulpit to get a hold of what God is trying to tell us. We don't always have to have somebody come and open up His Word and expound it to us and try to explain the hidden meanings. There are things out in life that can cause you and I to understand what God has to say if we will only pay attention as we go along in this walk. And so He said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, you who have wasted time, you who have been burdened down with things that have only caused you to be delayed in your growth with Christ, in your walk with Christ, in your turning away from the ways of sin. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and watch them and learn from their ways." And so He took note of it, and He recognized that though there was no one just telling the ant what to do, yet she will go and gather her food in the summertime. Yet she will go in the time of harvest and get it in, because she knows winter is coming and I must have that which I can feed upon.
Yes.
You know, in this day and time, though, man is not like that. Many times man goes on his or her way, not recognizing that the time is coming when I must give account of myself before an Almighty God. The time is coming where I many times am going to have to support and be a means of sustaining to someone. But man will go on and ignore all of those things and fail to prepare as they go through this life, not minding the present time. And so He told him here, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands. There are some consequences that comes with this as you and I go through this walk of life. You can't just go to sleep and you can't just ignore life as time goes on. Yes, Jesus is still passing by. You and I cannot ignore that as we go along in this walk of life. Even though we may be saved and sanctified, Jesus still comes by and He speaks to us and He checks us. You and I cannot ignore those times when He comes passing by. If we do, we're like this man, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and there's a result that comes from it. He says, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." When Jesus talks to us, when He visits us, when His Holy Spirit deals and checks with us, if we ignore it, we're much like what we heard last night. There is a sting that lulls people to sleep in their daily walk of life. And the end result then is that poverty comes as one that is traveling along the way. Always coming. Jesus comes by. But when you and I ignore God's dealings, poverty, spiritually speaking, is coming our way as well. And we will not escape it. You know, time waits for no one. Everybody here, no doubt, has been guilty of the time where they knew, I need to get up at a certain time. I'll set my alarm clock to awaken me. But when it wakes off, you ever find yourself feeling like, is it that time already? How many of you have reached with your eyes still closed and you're feeling over there trying to hit it or stop it so you can sleep just a few more minutes? The alarm and the way it sounds, it won't just let you sleep. So you've got to turn it off. You know what happens after you've done that? Come on now. What happens when you do that? You go back to sleep, and then what happens? When you do wake up, what happens? You jump up, all of a sudden, I'm late. Now I got to get out of the bed running. And maybe, if I'm headed to work, I might can go down some back roads where I can speed a little bit and not get caught. But you know, sometimes people have sped to work, and what happened? They got caught. They got a ticket. Thy poverty will come as one that traveleth, Now you got to pay out some money that you didn't really need to pay, just for a few minutes of some more sleep. When you consider we can be guilty of not minding this present time, and therefore, even though the aunt gives the example here that she doesn't have someone over her all the time telling her, but she provides her meat in the summer. She gets it while it is time to get it. And she gathers her food in the harvest. She is preparing. You and I are to be preparing right now for eternity. We can't put it off. Those times when Jesus passes by, we don't get those times anymore. That's one less time you're going to have to meet and deal with Him when you ought to. And you and I need to take that most seriously as we go through this life. Poverty will come. Many a times, though, people can convince themselves that I'm doing all right. And they have a lot of excuses as they go through this life. Here at the end, and you think about it, as hot as it was here this past summer, what was the ant still doing? Huh? Still trying to gather its meat in the summer. Still trying to gather in the harvest to prepare for the winter. You think it was a little bit inconvenient for the ant with all that heat that was out there? You think it was kind of putting them in a strait? There's not much to gather, and I don't see the bountiful growth like we normally do. It didn't stop them. They're still trying to prepare. But you know, man has a way where he or she will find excuses. Not now, Lord. Some other time. Not now, Lord. And we can go along, and I want you to understand me. I'm not just beating upon people that are saved, but mind you, as you and I go through this life and you see things happening time and time again, it says we're not paying attention. We don't go to the end. We don't search out and seek out. We don't labor when things get inconvenient for us as we go along in this life. You're going to meet some things that can put you in dire straits as you go along in this way, but you still must prepare, or it will be wasted years as you go along in this way. There's a consequence that comes from that poverty. Obviously, you and I can see it. And everyone has been told as they're growing up, you need to garner some type of skill. You need some type of education. You're going to have this in order to be able to work. And many times I speak with the young people, and some will come and they'll let me know what their grades are. And many a time when you look at it, the grade that's usually the worst is the math grade. And I'll feign horror like, man, you can do better than that. Well, it's hard. Okay? Life is hard all over. You're going to meet hard things. But I often ask them, do you like money? Oh, yeah. Their eyes open up then. Yeah, I like money. I said, that math will turn into money. You get the math now, you'll have something to work with later. But you know, people have reasons, and some of them, they tell me time and again, well, it's hard, and this is hard, and that's hard. And I said, wait till you get to be an adult. You think things are hard now. You got mom and daddy fending for you and protecting you. Wait till you get a little older. As one of my nieces, she encountered some things and car broke down, and I went and looked at it and babied it back home and told her I'll take it to my mechanic, but it's going to probably cost you something here. And when she found out what the bill was, she came and she paid it, and I asked her, I said, how's it feel to be grown? She said, I don't know about this. I liked it better when mommy and daddy took care of everything. So, oh, but see, this is what being grown is all about. You thought you was going to get ready to get somewhere. I'm going to do what I want to do and go where I want to go. How do you like this part of it? Well, I don't know about this part. So, oh, just wait. There's some more coming. But you know, as we go through life, if we don't prepare, poverty comes. People make a lot of excuses about why I'm not where I ought to be, or why things have me in the way that I am now. Everybody meets straits and consequences and trials and tests as they come along the way based upon the choices that they've made many a times. Some of our trials and tests come because of some decisions we've made. But if we're not careful, it equates to wasted years. And so as we go along, there is a consequence of that spiritual poverty. Jeremiah spoke about it in the 8th chapter. He said, the harvest is past.
Yes.
The summer is ended,
yes,
and I am not saved. The time to gather in the harvest is gone. The time to have planted and deal with things in that present time in the summer is now gone, and the poverty has come. I am not saved. May God help us as we go through this life. It's a terrible thing to have gone all through this life after all that Jesus has done and end up lost. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, starting with the 30th verse. And consider here, Solomon was still observing some things. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that one? I'm going to relay something to you that Sister Janet Marsh taught us when we were in Sunday school. She said, when you see that the Lord has repeated something at least twice in His Word, that means it's important and you need to get a hold of it. Mm. And you find here that Solomon went by someone else. Now, he said, go to the end. But now he went by somebody's place. I went by the field of the slothful, the one that is lazy, the one that is lazy spiritually speaking, the one that procrastinates and keeps putting it off. I went by his field. And I also went by the vineyard of a man that was void of understanding. Now, that brings a picture to my mind. A vineyard could be a great vineyard, but if it's one who owns it and they don't have much understanding, when you look out there, you're not going to see healthy, thriving grapevines. You see something struggling along. You might see a little bit of fruit on it here and there. You won't see what you would normally like and hope to expect to see. But he said, I went by these places, and it was grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered it. The stone wall was broken down. It was in disrepair. And I saw this, and I weighed it out well. I thought about it deeply. I considered it much as I went on my way. And as a result of me looking at it, I received instruction from it. And he realized again, if a person is slothful and they're sleeping spiritually, they're sleeping in their life's walk along the way. You can be walking around with your eyes wide open and still be asleep as to what you need to do and focus on as you go on in this life. You can be running at quarter mile or a miler's world record speed, and in the race you can still be asleep. Those who have done it are able to recognize that person is running. He's right in the group, but he's asleep in his running, and he's not doing what he needs to do in order to win the race. And yet he's running at world record pace. You know, as we go in this life, we can not pay attention to those things that we need to pay attention to, and we can be going through this life feeling like I'm doing fine and still be asleep. He considered it well, and he saw the results. Now, I want you to consider it from this standpoint. Here he said, I went by the field of the slothful, and I went by the vineyard. The vineyard, the field, is your soul. He saw that it was grown over with thorns. Those are evil habits. He saw that nettles covered everything. Hurtful things. Offensive things. Things that people have done to others in word and in deed. Look upon all of that and you'll see it in people's lives. You'll see it in their soul when you begin to consider, what are they doing with the one soul that God has given them? And you'll begin to see many a time that there's thorns there, very evil habits, ways about them that might be covered up. And as I've gone through this life, I've found that there are some that you can look upon, and you might feel like as you've met them and talked with them, they won't do anything to hurt anybody. But underneath that exterior that seems so sweet and so calm is one of the most selfish people, one of the most evil you'll ever meet in your life. I've seen that more than once. And nobody has a corner market on it. You see them with other ways that are like nettles, deceitful ways. Ways where you can't even get a straight answer from them on a simple question. Ways where they do things to hurt others as they go along in this way of life. They were talking this morning about the tongue and how it's a world of fire. And believe you me, you can be saved, you can feel you're sanctified, and you can have a tongue that goes around cutting and slashing and hurting others. Those are nettles in the vineyard of your soul. God doesn't want them to be there. But too many times people get by. I had somebody tell me once, well, I call it like I see it. I said, well, that's one thing for you to do that. But if you're not seeing it clearly, you're not going to be able to call it clearly. So you're seeing something, but you're seeing wrong. You need to leave stuff alone and keep your mouth closed and shut, because what you're saying is not helping. It's causing more damage than good. You know, as we go through this life, when people are going through there, and I've heard reports of people, even ministers that came by, judgment was what they preached, judgment was what they gave, yet it was without the love of God. And when they got down to life's end, they were asking God to help them and have mercy upon them. There was nettles there that the Spirit began to check them with. But because I'm a minister, I'm going on, I'm doing the right thing for God, and all it ends up being is wasted years. You and I, as we go through this life, can be saved and waste a lot of years in our lives partaking of things that God does not want us to partake of. And we can try to justify it, and we can try to make it be all right. But you know, I've found, and I see it time and again, when you face death, you can't make anything be justified. When you face death, you can't cover it up. It'll be right there. As one writer said, when we go through this life, we can walk over things that sting us. We actually walk over them like we're walking on worms. You can step on a worm and think nothing about it. Won't hardly even feel it when you step on it. He said, but when you come down to death, those worms rise up like fiery serpents. And now you've got something to deal with. And then you realize, I wasted a lot of time and opportunity to have dealt with this long ago. May God help us to think about it. He took instruction from what he saw here. He allowed it to quicken him to diligence, to move him to be diligent about his life. That is what you and I are to do. Many a time, you and I are going to see people do things, both saved and unsaved. And you're going to see them do things that are not right, that you and I can't get by with. You see the nettles, you see the thorns, but you and I are to receive instruction from that, not go and gossip about it. I've often told my children when they see something, well, what do you learn from that? And especially when they were young, they look at you funny like, well, what do you mean what I learned from it? What they did is wrong, okay, but what did you learn from it? And they get quiet and say, then you ought to have learned not to ever do that yourself. And if you don't give your heart to the Lord, I tell them, and if you don't endeavor to truly be saved, you'll be making the same mistakes that they're making. You'll be doing the same wrong that they're doing. And other young people who come along younger than you are going to be looking at you and thinking the same thing about you thinking about them. Don't you ever get caught there. you receive instruction from it so that you will avoid those kinds of places. You receive instruction from it so that you can learn to carry a burden of prayer for others where God can begin to deal with them and He might win them and bring them along life's way. You know, as we go through this life, many a times people are too busy wanting to instruct somebody as opposed to receiving instructions as they go along the way. And it often makes me think about the writer who wrote the poem, How Readest Thou? Some read it just so they can be in dispute to show others how they can just dispute the Bible and bring out all of these points and whatnot. Some of them only read it the way their father read it. The way he sees it, that's the way I see it. You can get yourself in trouble that way. And you can waste a lot of time because you did not spend time on your knees seeking God for understanding. That's what the writer told him. Search for wisdom and seek understanding. There is someone who knows and always hears. Give it up, the load you're bearing. You can't go on in a life of wasted years. In the first chapter of James, the 22nd verse, we find him admonishing and encouraging the people there. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We must be doers of the word. Now, sometimes people look at that and they think, well, we ought to be out doing this and you ought to be out doing that. Well, you know something? There is something that is very basic to that people tend to forget. Being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only means that I will seek and apply myself to God's word to where I won't have nettles and thorns in my soul, the vineyard that I have to keep. Where I have sought Him first, where I seek Him for my daily walk of life, where I actually began to realize when I got saved, that was just the start. When I got sanctified, that was just the beginning of the beginnings. It was not the end of it. It was just the very opening of it.
Yes.
And as I grow through this life and I begin to seek Him and He opens up more to me, then I'm to become more and more like Him. When I am a doer of that work, then I can be sent out to go and do the things that God would have me to do. I'll be equipped to do the things that God would have me to do. But people want to get out and do things so they can be seen. That's the wrong approach to God's word. Here He said, for them to be a doer and not just a hearer only, because those who hear only, they are like someone who looks in the mirror and sees something upon them. But if they don't do anything about it right then, they go on off and they forget that they have it. You ever done that? How many brothers shave in the morning, you got the shaving cream on your face and you're shaving all off, and maybe you're in a rush because you got up a little bit late, and you forget to wipe your face, or you wipe your face but you didn't get the part that was on your ear, and you run off to work and somebody say, you got something on your ear. And you look in the mirror like, oh, I didn't realize I missed that. You ever done that? See, that's the way we are when we hear the word only. When we come and we sit up under God's Spirit and He begins to talk to us, and then when the service is over and someone has prayed the dismissal prayer and they say amen, we many times treat it like, well, that's all done now, and we go on off and forget what we just heard and what the Spirit dealt with us about. And You see it down through the ages now, where you can have service after service, meeting after meeting. Nobody goes to the altar. What are we here for? And as I asked the question to the home folks one time, I said, why do y'all expect ministers to be anointed if you're not going to take heed to what the Lord gives them to tell you? Why should they labor to be anointed when you're just going to hear and then go home? And they leave away burdens saying, I know God gave this to me. I know somebody's in need of this. And as Brother Williams used to say, God don't shoot any blanks.
What he said.
Now, if that's really true, then what does that really tell us? Many people are going on, sometimes professing salvation, and yet just accumulating wasted years. You know, as we go on, there's something about this, and he says here that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Man has a way where he can reason with himself and he can get himself deceived. Man has a way where he can go, and I've seen some, and I've had a few even come, and, well, I want to talk to you about this. And they begin to lay out their thoughts, and they've got scriptures to back it up, and they've got a lot of things here where you can just watch them concocted or constructed or whatever you want to say, and I'll tell them, well, you have a point. Then time comes where they come back, and more or less they figure, well, since you said I have a point, then he goes along with it. And then when I start backing up on him, they're like, well, but you said I had a point. I said, yes, I did. But the scripture also says something else, and you didn't seem to take that into account. And you know, you can get yourself bound up with some things that causes people to be hurt, and they can lose their soul. I've seen people come up with some things where I might not be able to unravel it. And a lot of times I tell them, well, I think about that. And sometimes I might be at work, and if I'm working by myself, I get to thinking about it. And then you begin to realize, all right, see, there's a hole here, and there's a hole there, and there's a hole there. No, I wouldn't go that way. I don't trust that. I have one chance to save my soul. I will not try it on that. But you see, we can have sophisticated arguments. We can do a lot of things, and we can reason in ourselves, and we can reason ourselves out of responding to God's word. Oh, that's not me. When we consider to look upon this and be a doer and not a forgetful hearer, when the priests would come in to do their duties, there was a laver there. Do you know what that was for? Huh? What was it for? I couldn't hear.
Purification.
And it was made in such a way, and they had some other things there where they could look and see and check themselves before they went on into the temple. That's why we are to not be forgetful hearers. We are to take note that we're coming in the presence of the Lord. And we don't want to deceive ourselves. And even here, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and his religion is vain. And you be careful what people tell you. I had somebody telling me about how to talk and say this and say that and say the other. They finally came back and said, I see why you don't do a whole lot of talking. And they said, well, I don't talk much. And I thought, yeah, you're about like people who say, I don't eat much. I remember a cousin of mine, she said, I don't eat much. But she was putting on weight and putting on weight and putting on weight. She finally decided to go to Weight Watchers. And they told her, everything you put in your mouth, whether it's a stick of gum or whatever, piece of candy, write it down. All through the day, just write it down. She said when she started writing it down, she began to realize, okay, I thought I wasn't eating much because it might be just a little piece of this here and a little piece of that there. She said, but when I looked at the whole day after several days of it, I realized I'm constantly eating all the time. And you know, that's the way we are spiritually speaking. Well, I don't do this or I don't do that. Start writing it down. See what happens then. And it ends up being an accumulation of wasted years. So we can't be a forgetful hearer. We have to respond to the call of God. When He begins to talk to us, when He checks us in our spirit, when you feel something that says, I wouldn't do that, you better stop. Don't go that way. You better stop. The writer in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 and 16 said, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. See that you walk in an appropriate manner. See that you walk the way you are supposed to walk. See that you walk in a way that is becoming to someone professing to be a Christian and having a personal relationship with God. And you and I don't realize how many times the little things that we don't do tells others the relationship is not there like we say it is. I heard the brother mention something about praying for the Sunday school. I hear people talk all the time about how they have a personal relationship with God, but they can't seem to get to Sunday school. If it's really that personal, would you want to be away from it? No. And if it's that personal, you enjoy the presence. And God said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be where? Yes. So if two or three gather together for Sunday school, where is He? Why are you not here? May God help us. Because when we don't come, we're telling our children without saying a word, this isn't important. Amen. This doesn't matter. Amen. And then they end up with a whole bunch of wasted years right along with us. Yeah. May God help us. Amen. You know something? The greatest talent. You remember the parable about the talents and how the king gave this one to so many and that one so many? And we tend to think about them talents as our abilities and what I can do, and there's always something somebody can do for the Lord. Here's your greatest talent. The ability to redeem the time. And some people say, well, I can't speak like others. You don't have to speak to redeem the time. Some say, well, I can't pray like they do. I'm not a prayer warrior like them. You don't have to pray to redeem the time. Some say, well, I can't go out and preach like the others. You don't have to preach to redeem the time. Everybody can do this. To redeem the time means I'll take advantage of every opportunity to be in His presence. I'll take advantage of every opportunity to improve my salvation experience and to gain and grow by the help and grace of the Lord. This is redeeming the time. And you know, it will always be, and I think everyone would easily agree, that it is a shameful thing to view oneself as I am saved and sanctified and then come down to death's door and find out I don't have it. And I've seen that happen. I've seen some come and testify very high about how God is working in their behalf and doing this and doing that. And I prayed and God answered this prayer. I sought God and He did this here. But when it came down to death's door, they were struggling trying to get through. And they finally told my wife in desperation, I don't have what I said I had. And now the both of us are there trying to somehow help them, knowing they're about to expire and leave here. How can we help them to get a hold of something where they can go on through with victory in the Lord? Some of us may not come in and testify. Oh, I don't come to church and testify. I'm not going to be no hypocrite. You still not saved? I've heard some say, well, when I get it, I'm going to get it right. And you're still not saved? There's a problem. And it's accumulating as wasted years. I've heard some tell me, well, when I get it, I'm going to get it like Granny's got it. But they're still not saved. And time is moving on.
Yes.
Wasted years. You know, there are a lot of things that you meet in this life. But even though we meet trials and tests and problems and all kind of reverses and disappointments and hurts, There is still a call that comes out from God. I want you to listen to this song that we sometimes sing. And you know, you might say, well, this applies to those that are saved in trials and tests, and it's for the encouragement. It applies to everybody, saved and unsaved. When I get weary with toils of the day, oft in the secret I kneel and pray. Then I can hear my Lord sweetly say, come closer, my child, to me. I'm tired and I'm weary, Lord. I'm tired of what's going on. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. Come closer, my child. He goes on further. When all around in this cold, dark land, nothing encourages me to stand. Jesus says, holding me by the hand, come closer, my child, to me. When in afflictions I suffer long, Jesus comes bringing this lovely song, trust in my grace and you shall be strong. But he says, come closer, my child, to me. When I'm meeting with trials severe, when I am parting with loved ones here, looking to Jesus, his voice I can hear, come closer, my child, to me. There is a constant and a continual call from God. You say, well, that's for the saved, and I'm not saved, but he's still telling you, come here, come close to me. Come and give me your life. Come closer. Those that are in trials and tests, and I know there you've seen things, and I remember somebody said, well, I'm a paraphraser, but they said, it's kind of hard to remember that your objective was to drain the swamp when you're in the midst of alligators. In the midst of trials and tests, it may be kind of difficult to realize my objective is to live and walk a life that meets God's approval in the midst of these trying times. But he said, come closer. He didn't tell me to get involved in all this other stuff that people get involved in. May the Lord help us to listen to his call and respond to that so we don't get caught up in all the other messes that are going on in this world today as we go through this life. You know, there's still yet that call, and he knocks at our heart's doors, and he still yet tells us, come closer. And I'm one, and I've told him, you can go when you are tired, when you are vexed, when you are frustrated, when you're upset about things that are going on. You can go and tell the Lord exactly how you feel, and he's still yet going to listen to you. But when he begins to talk to you, he's really going to tell you, come closer, my child. Come to me. And you know what? He typically will not promise that I'm going to straighten out that person so they won't be bothering you anymore. And I'm going to check this one so he won't vex you anymore. And I'm going to do this so that one won't be a problem to you anymore. What he does is he begins to deal with you and me. And he's trying to give us a measure of grace. Come closer to me and I'll give you something where they can keep doing what they're doing. You can keep being vexed by what they're saying. You can keep being surrounded by all of the things that are going on. And you can be just like the psalmist David when he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In the midst of all of these things, he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't stop the enemies. He just fed him in the presence of them.
Yes, he did.
You and I can get so caught up trying to say, Lord, stop this and arrest that and do that and do the other, and we end up with wasted years. That's not what he's called us to. What he's called us to is a high calling, and we find it in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to start at the 7th verse. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why would he want that? He said, that I may know him and a power of his resurrection, and a fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The call is to holiness. And it is brought out here. He didn't want something of his own righteousness. He wanted that which came by faith in God. That's the righteousness that he wanted. That which comes from a holy and a pure life. That which comes from a life free from sin. In this day and time, with all of the stuff going on around us, you can still live that way. Here he lets us know this is what he's looking for. He wanted righteousness in him that comes by faith in God. God said through his word that it was him that works in us the will to do of his good pleasure. It is his spirit that works in us where we can live a righteous and a holy life. Some say, I can't live it that way. No, you cannot. But his spirit working in you can cause you to follow after paths of righteousness. You know, as we go along this way, he said here that he was looking for this and he was being mindful of it. And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This call is one that leads a person to a sanctified life where they are set apart away from the world, where they are consecrated to God, where they yield to him and him alone, where they give to his spirit and they allow him to work in their lives so that they don't go through this life and end up with wasted years. You know, as we go on in this way, Paul said, I press toward this mark. He said, I do not count myself as to having already arrived and gotten there. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. What is before you? What is behind you? There's a lot of things people see in this life. And I'm mindful of a man who told me once, dealing with some co-worker, he said, I hate the man. This man had retired and left and been gone for many years. But when he started telling me the story, it was as if it had just happened. You can see the rage in his eyes. You can see the color come up in his name. He said, I hate him. And I said, well, that's kind of a strong word, isn't it? I hate him. See, he was not forgetting those things which are behind. And he was not pressing towards those things which are before. What is before us is to grow in the stature of Christ, to meet the measure of Christ, to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, not just bearing one or two pieces of fruit here and there, but to be bountiful as we grow and abound. But when you and I begin to hold on to those things which are behind, and what are those things? The gossip that we get involved in, the attitudes that we have, the things that we let people put up on us, and we get burdened down with it because they said it. What's an example of that? I'll give you one. I had a person tell me one time, he said, man, it seems like if my sister-in-law gets mad at her husband, then I'm in trouble because now her sister gets mad at me because of her sister being mad at her husband. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Sister-in-law having a problem with her husband, they're going to have to do their own thing. I say that's their own tango, so to speak. They're going to find a way for them two to get along. But because she's mad at her husband, well, I'm mad at you. Now, that don't make good sense, do it? But I'm going to tell you right now, that happens right here in everyday life. And it's not just in that one particular area or location. There's a lot of that that goes on in this way. And people many times will take it that way. Well, because my friends got a problem with you, I got a problem with you. Because my kinfolks got a problem with you, I have a problem with you. We get caught up in all of that junk that is behind, and we can't press toward the things that are before. What did He put before us? Righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. What else did He put before us? Long-suffering and patience. Being able to love. And I tell them sometimes, you say, well, I love the people. So why is it we have all this trouble? He said love would cover what? What does that mean? Huh? What does that mean? No. 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 What it means is that I can see what's going on, but I don't have to go and tell everybody. I don't condone it, but I can pray about it. And you know, as you and I go through this life, and if you assess your life, have you ever had times where you stopped and thought, you know, if I'd have done what I set out to do, how much farther along the way would I be, spiritually speaking? And it can be little things. I've seen times and recognized Satan's going to try to oppose you. I have seen times where I've thought, as I was traveling to work one morning, thinking about something, said, I want to know more. I want to learn more about this or that. Might have been faith or love or patience, whatever it was. So I could get to work good. I'm coming in again. I hear him paging me over the phone. I'm like, oh, no, what's happening now? It's not even 7:30. And they're already calling. And then I get another phone call that says, your sister's got a problem with her vehicle. She wants you to come by and check it. Oh, all right. And I'm thinking, but I was going to come home and sit down and get my Bible and some books, and I was going to study. Next thing you know, you doing what you feel you should do. You go and you help. You come back home, and it's late at night, and you're like, I'm so tired. I can't even hardly. I read a sentence, and I can't even remember what I just read. But I'll start on it tomorrow. Next thing you know, tomorrow is 6 months later, and you think, I thought I was going to work on thus and thus, and if I'd have just worked just a little bit each day, where would I be right now? You see how it gets to be wasted time? And how we then end up being short when something comes along the way? This is a serious walk, people. And God wants us to take it seriously. And there are many things in this world today that are occupying people's time. And it's not reading His Bible. Wasted years. May God help us. If you're out there in sin, it's wasted. If you say you're saved, but you're really not getting in there like you need to, it's wasted. May God help us. You know, we don't realize, I make this comment, people don't agree. I tell them many of the things that happen in the world affect us while we're saved. And I'm not talking about what they're doing with the economy. I'm saying the mindset that the world has. We don't realize how much we have that mindset while we're trying to be saved.
That's right.
We don't realize how it affects us. The mindset of the world nowadays is, I want everything like that. And we want it too. Lord, it don't take you long to work. So Lord, you can, as soon as I pray, this can be done. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer long. We don't want to go through trials and tests. We're looking for the quickest way out. We don't want to take time to read His Bible. We sure don't want to take time to go search out what it means. Just have the preacher tell me. Just have the Sunday school teacher tell me. Just tell me what this means so I can run on my way. This is not a drive-through at McDonald's or Burger King or someplace else. You have to spend time on your knees with God. You have to spend time in His Word, not to become some. I've heard one person say as a young person, well, if I do that, the Lord will call me to preach. No, He won't. All of us are to spend time with God. We sing that song, I love to spend time alone with God. Do we really? If we don't, it's going to be wasted years. May God help us to prove faithful to Him, steadfast in what we're doing. And let us mend our pace and redeem the time. We can all do that. And we'll all be better off as a result. Amen.